Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dice Guys audio podcast number 5 for October 8th, 2011. Today on the Dice Guys, Jason and Mike discuss the Legend of Drizzt board game that's coming out from Wizards of the Coast later this month. Also, social and casual games on mobile devices and how they're disappearing with your money, as well as their game picks of the week. And they have their brain flakes, which are still crunchy in milk. Too crunchy for toothless zombies. Oh, man.
Trying to kill me.
All right. Let's jump right into our week.
Yeah.
And what's been going on.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose first I should say, if you're not checking us out from our website, it is www.thediceguys.com.
The Dice Guys.
Make sure to visit. Our show notes will be on there, as well as various articles and blogs, and, you know, you might find something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this last week...
What have you been doing?
Well, first let's bring up the fact that everybody's talking about this.
Maybe we should have introduced ourselves.
Oh. Okay, I'm Jason.
And I'm Mike.
And we are the Dice Guys.
We are the Dice Guys.
And that got that out of the way. Okay, so...
This is only the fifth one that we've done, so, you know, we should introduce ourselves a couple more times.
Yeah, probably. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Anyway. Okay, everybody's talking about the fact that Steve Jobs passed away this week.
Yes.
And so we're not going to get all maudlin and belabor the point. I just want to say that... While I am not a user of Apple products, I think Steve Jobs was an amazing guy. And the only reason I'm not a user of Apple products is because so far, non-Apple products have been meeting my needs. And I just haven't gone in that direction. I don't have anything against him or his products. I'm going to miss the man. I think he's changed the world. And I think that if he'd been allowed to stay with us, then the world would have been a better place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was only 56. It's really not that old.
That's rough, man.
And he died from cancer, so it's a rough death. But he burned the candle up to the very end. He left as CEO just a few weeks before he died. And I happen to know what was going on. And he, up to the end, he was there. Yeah, I mean, I use Apple products, of course. I've used them for a long time. And they've always been impressive to me. I'll point people to the products that they need, but for me, for my own uses, the Apple products have always been the best for me. And they really did. I mean, when I was in college, that first Macintosh that came out just was so easy to use, and it was right then that I started doing page layout work and design work. Just because of the computer and how easy it was to pull up that program and start working on it. And of course, all my stuff looked like crap because I used every font in the book. But that's not the point. The point is that you begin to learn it and you play with it and you use it. And that's what Steve Jobs was about, was learning, playing with things and putting things together and not having the computer stand in your way. And I think he did a pretty good job at that.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Yeah. As for the rest of the week, mostly I've just been working and I've been trying to figure out a writing schedule because I haven't been updating on the website as much as I would like. And so I'm trying to discover the optimal time since my schedule is all screwed up.
But that kind of leads into my week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because let's my hear week, about yours. Well, my week, part of it was improving the website and mm-hmm. getting the website more complete, and it's pretty much
it's looking really good, man.
Well, it's pretty much finished. There's only like a couple spaces that I need to fill mm-hmm. in, the about page and the
which I think we're taking care of today.
Yeah, we might take care of that today, but you know, just a couple of spaces. But pretty much now it's ready to go. It's mm-hmm. live.
All right.
So you can figure out your writing schedule. The website's there for you and for everybody else out there to look at. So I think
www.thediceguys.com.
Exactly, thediceguys.com. The only other thing that I've done this week is I've been kind of watching that Occupy Wall Street stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And everything. And it kind of got me thinking.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. you know, we used to have our house rules from Monopoly.
Here we go.
You know, we had the house rules from Monopoly, the true monopolist Monopoly, where you could buy the corner spaces.
I'm telling you what. Okay, people, you have no idea. Hearing this, you're thinking, what? But no, this was a blast. The game never ended.
The game never ends.
But it was so much fun. I mean, for the 3 or 4 hours you could stand to play, it was an amazing game.
Yeah, you buy the corner spaces, you can pass money on the table, you can get kickbacks from the bank, you know.
Oh, and there's penalties if you get caught doing this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike real life.
But like anybody who's rich, the penalties aren't that great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, they weren't too steep.
So Monopoly for the true monopolist. But I'm thinking, you know, the 99% aren't represented very well in Monopoly.
No, that game's all about the 1%.
That's right. You are the 1%
mm-hmm.
buying everything up and screwing everybody. So I was thinking, while I'm watching the Occupy Wall Street, is why don't we work that into Monopoly?
Okay.
So
Getting worried.
So you go grab, let's say, a bucket of pebbles. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending on what you think of the people on Wall Street that are occupying it, go get you some dirty pebbles if you think they're dirty hippies. Or you can go get you like those gemstone stones mm-hmm. that are used in Pente or something like that, and use those because that makes it kind of a colorful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because maybe you think they're colorful people. Or you can use coins if you think that they have a little bit of money.
The middle class.
Yeah, middle class. So they have a little bit of money. So, but anyway, the idea is that occasionally during the game, and I haven't figured out the mechanics of this all, but you will grab a handful of these and toss them on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever they land is where they're occupying.
Okay.
So let's say that they occupy something that you have a house on. Well, you can't
collect Madison Avenue.
Okay. Yeah. You can't collect rent there anymore because they're occupying it. Okay. So what you have to do is you have to go to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
You have to actually go to the just visiting section.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay the police to go over and clear them off.
To go beat the 99% off.
Yeah. So,
nice.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. So, you know, not the beating part, but the game part. So
I like the reflection of reality.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, I got some mechanics to this and everything. The idea is that eventually, if you don't get it all cleared off, they'll occupy everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you stop playing Monopoly and you start playing Guillotine. You start chopping everybody's heads off. Revolution has begun.
Okay.
What do you think?
That's not bad. That's not bad. I like the aspect, if you get the 99% in jail, say there's a limited number of 99% tokens.
Yeah.
If you get them all in jail, then you can't ever be sent to jail as one of the 1%, reflecting the fact that the 1% really don't pay for anything they do.
That's right. That's that. Yeah,
I like that
it.
Idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll put that in the notes.
Yeah, so. That's exactly it. We need to write these up. These notes need to go on the website so mm-hmm. that anybody can play this game. We'll figure out the mechanics, and we'll give it a shot. And you guys should give it a shot and tell us what you think.
Yeah, we'll put it up as a PDF file. You all can download it, and you can play the Occupy Monopoly version of Monopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, this couldn't get us in
and
trouble
it's
at all.
Free, so even if you're one of the 99%, you can have it.
There you go. Like we are.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm actually part of the
sub
negative
99.
The sub 99. I really think I'm sub something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. That's what I've been thinking about this week was the website.
All right.
And the Occupy Monopoly.
Awesome. Well, then I guess it's time for. The brain flakes.
Brain flakes.
Basically, our brain flakes are pretty short this week, thank goodness. unlike last week.
Well, I think we got some sleep this week.
We've gotten a little bit more sleep.
So
apparently the Goethe Institute, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. That's got to be close.
It's German.
We kind of checked.
It's German near Oklahoma. That's close enough.
Yeah, yeah. These Germans need to learn something about pronunciation. Hmm. There's no R in that word.
There's no
Where the
R
hell did that,
that
come
word.
From?
I don't know. But you know, there's nothing like that in English. There's no weird words that sound different than what they're spelled.
Of course not.
No.
Okay. Anyway, apparently they had an event using Settlers of Catan.
Okay.
To teach people about resource use and resource conservation.
Hmm.
Apparently, up to 60 people attended this event, and which isn't a bad turnout for a board game event. And
at an institute.
At an institute, yeah. And I just thought it was pretty cool that board games are being used as educational as well as entertainment. So far, gamers have been helping discover the protein chain for HIV. They're deciphering ancient languages. Now games are being used to teach conservation. We even mentioned the one in Uganda that's being used for the same reason, for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome how this whole gaming thing is infiltrating all other aspects of life.
Mm-hmm. I think people are a lot more forgiving now of, I mean, there's always been sort of in businesses and everything, the meeting that you do, the role play stuff, and you do the everything based, you know, to do sales meetings or learn about how to do certain things interpersonal-wise in a company. They're branching this out and actually not afraid to just bring in a board game now.
Yeah.
So
pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Okay. I guess that brings us to the next one, which is, Mike, you found this one.
Yeah, I did find this one, and it goes with our science.
Science!
Yes. this one's pretty cool. I thought this was cool, especially with, you know, with the fact of what happened with Steve Jobs and everything. This came out just right about the same time. At the University of California in Davis, some scientists there have basically turned an iPhone into a microscope.
Right.
Yeah. And what they've done, or how the guy got the idea, was he noticed that when a water droplet was on the camera of his iPhone, it would magnify further.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took a ball lens that's about $30, and he kind of put it on there with some tape. And it is taking pictures of blood cells and other things. This is not small, really tiny things, but it's good enough that they can look at it and see sickle cell. They can look at it and see other blood diseases. He thinks that he can enhance this into making the iPhone, and probably other mobile devices too, into a spectrometer that you can test gases for. You can test blood gases.
So basically, a very cost-effective microscope for a field hospital.
Basically for a field hospital. Somebody in the field who has their phone anyway will be able to just attach a device. There'll be apps and things to fire up, and you'll be able to tell right there things that are going on in somebody's body.
Paramedics that, you know, sending information back to the hospital
to get
immediate response. I mean, that's amazing.
I think it's pretty cool. It's Star Trek stuff again. I mean, we're looking at tricorders coming into being is what we're looking at
in the future, man. And I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It is. It's pretty amazing.
Of course, you know, living in the future still means that you're dealing with people, and people are crazy.
They are
like
insane.
Like this Facebook guy that you found.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you what I think is, you know, Facebook's a problem.
Well,
what happened?
It's going to depend on the people, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Facebook does not necessarily engender rage.
Yes, it does.
But obviously, in this man's case, it did. Okay, a guy.
Every time they change their interface, I get pissed off.
Okay.
It's about daily.
A Texas man apparently posted a status update about the anniversary of his mother's passing. And his wife failed to like his status, and like his other friends did. And when he confronted her about this, apparently a fight broke out, and he was apparently pulling her hair and beating her up and
Jeez,
stuff.
Man.
Yeah. And
he's in jail now, right?
Yeah.
Good.
And
that's just wrong.
He's facing one charge of battery, which, you know, when it comes to beating another person,
especially your wife,
I don't know. Should we make this gets into a big old hairy discussion. Should we make separate rules, meaning that if you beat your wife, it's worse than if you beat up a guy in a bar?
Well, no, but I mean,
but some people say yes.
Socially, though, it's bad.
Yeah, I mean, anybody
legally, assault is assault.
Anybody who feels like they have to deal with an argument, especially with a loved one, by using their fists, is someone with a serious problem.
Yeah, and they need to be in jail or something.
They need to be in jail, and they need to get treatment.
But, you know, I'm gonna go on the side of the wife here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on the side of the wife here. I wouldn't know whether to like that or not either. I mean, do you really want to like that somebody's dead?
I run into that all the time, actually.
Do I like this or not? I mean,
I really do. Somebody posts something about something. It doesn't even have to be about death. It could be like, oh, my day was crappy and all that kind of stuff. And then they'll say something positive at the end of it, or they'll make a little joke about it. And it's like, do I like that? Your day was total crap.
Yeah, why do I like that?
If I put like on that, hey, I'm glad your day sucked.
Yeah, they need some other words or something on Facebook.
Yeah,
for
I would say this couple was probably dealing with other issues other than just Facebook.
Probably. Even on Google Plus, you know, sometimes I don't know whether to plus one something or not, because do I really want to plus one something that's sad?
Yeah, exactly.
Unless I'm emo.
Yeah.
Which I'm not.
I mean, I can see making a comment about, hey, I commiserate, you know, that sort of thing. But plus oneing?
Or liking.
That's a little. Yeah. Okay, we're going to move into my game pick of the week.
Game pick of the week.
Yeehaw, I got snake eyes.
And
kind of goes with rage.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least with dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
My game pick of the week is Steve Jackson's Revolution.
Revolution, good choice.
This game is really unlike other games that I've played. I can't say it's 100% unique, but it was a different experience for me. I was introduced to this game at PAX 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Steve Jackson area, and one of their demonstrators showed this game to me, and it was amazing. Basically, the idea is that you're in the middle of a revolution. And you're trying to buy influence.
Okay.
And you've got three ways of doing this. One is with gold, which is the cheapest, least valuable way of doing things.
Okay.
The next step up is with blackmail, which is a much more powerful form of persuasion. And then finally, you have force. You're going to force people to do what you want.
Excellent.
Yes, beating somebody is always more powerful than coercing them or buying them.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have these different forms of being able to try and influence these important people. And what happens is everybody that's playing the game plays these tokens. You get a set number of each at the beginning of the game. And you play these tokens on the people on your card. And then once everybody's done, you reveal them. Whoever has the highest value on a person gets that person's influence for that turn. They get to put one of their influence markers in the area that they control, which would be the harbor, the fortress, the inn,
the cathedral,
plantation, the cathedral, all these sorts of areas. And the person with the most influence markers in those areas gets the bonus points of that particular area. And you have a support track. that runs around the board. Mm-hmm. And each person that you influence gives you a minor amount of support. And like I said, when you take a certain resource like the cathedral, it has bonus points that add to that support. At the end of the game, who has the most support wins the game.
Okay.
So it's a game of bidding and strategy. And it's a lot of fun. Now, there's also an expansion called the Plantation, which adds a new influence area to the board and four new people to influence.
Okay.
To try now and bribe, blackmail.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've played this with you. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It hurts my brain. It really hurts my brain.
It really can. And it all revolves around how good are the other players. Because
now this game's probably not really a good one to start somebody with.
This is not an introductory game. No. This is a hobby gamer game. If you've got people that have never played games before, this is not the one to go for.
Okay.
You want to wait until you work them in a little bit, till they've got the idea of playing strategy games.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Steve Jackson, Revolution. That's my game pick of the week.
Excellent. Sounds good.
So let's talk about a game that's about to come out.
Excellent. Yeah. I've heard about this.
It's
going
to come out this month. It's another Wizards of the Coast game.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Legend of Dritz. Mm-hmm. That's how they're pronouncing it. I know, a lot of people pronounce it Drizzt.
All my life I've said Drizzt, but they're Wizards of the Coast. They should know what
it's their property. They say Dritz. I'm going with Dritz.
Okay.
All right.
That makes me sound kind of drunk, I think.
It's kind of a messed up name. But anyway, their choice, not ours.
So anybody who's familiar with Drizzt, he's a dark elf, and he's in the Forgotten mm-hmm. Realms era. He's
the vast, kind of I dark. Mean, the central series of the Wizards of the Coast-based novels mm-hmm. are pretty much all centered around this character.
Yeah, R.A. Salvatore.
R.A. Salvatore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent books.
Actually, they really are. They really are. They're very well written. I enjoy them a lot.
So this game is coming out when?
It's coming out October 18th.
Okay.
If anybody has played Castle Ravenloft or Wrath of Ashardalon, they're going to be familiar with this game.
Okay.
The basically, Wizards of the Coast has done what they did with role-playing. With role-playing, they created the D20 engine. It's like they're trying to turn video games into other forms of games. They have the D20 engine, and they build different worlds around it.
Yeah.
For different role playing experiences, the board games are the same way. There's a board game engine,
and it works really well for the board games.
Oh my gosh, it works amazingly for the board.
We'll talk
games.
Another day about the
right
other stuff.
Right. Castle Ravenloft is absolutely amazing.
I love it. I like it a lot.
And the quality of the game is above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an amazingly well-done game. Same engine applies to this game as well as Wrath of Ashardalon. Do we want... I don't know if we want to go into this yet, but do we want a game that's basically the same as the games that came before it, engine-wise? I mean, I think you and I have different opinions on this.
Slightly different opinions. My take on it is that they're going to overplay this.
Right.
Right now, they're a business, and they're a big business. It's a big company. And they are going to milk this for anything they can. They might even come out next with a... Dark Sun board game, because that's one of their other
would
things.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would enjoy it too. But I mean, are they diluting it? You know, at a certain point, people say, you know, I've already got three of these. Why do I want to buy a fourth one?
Yeah, but they have to look at it from the point of view that they're constantly getting new gamers.
Yeah.
So there are going to be people who haven't purchased Castle Ravenloft or Wrath or even Legend of Dritz.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be people coming in new to the Dark Sun game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's still money to be made there. So from a business point of view, this is something they need to be doing.
Yeah. And they're not the only company that does it. I mean, Steve Jackson, for all the love that we have for his games, Munchkin is really drawn out. You've got the original Munchkin game with however many people, six, seven, eight expansion sets now. Cthulhu Munchkin, Conan Munchkin just came out. Axe Cop Munchkin. I mean, they're really pushing it too. They keep making money at it, so it's a good business decision to keep doing it. I have to admit that, but at a certain point...
Oh, don't forget Super Munchkin.
Yeah, Super Munchkin, Munchkin Impossible.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's tons of them.
As somebody who bought in at the beginning, that's going to seem like a whole lot of game that you keep on investing your money in.
Yeah, when is the saturation point? And maybe there's enough new gamers coming in that they can come in at... Axe Cop Munchkin and not know the other ones, and they're having just as much fun. I don't know.
Well, we've read tons of articles about how board games are coming back into popularity.
Well, yeah, but those are all people getting on the bandwagon. They've been coming back since late 90s.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, and I feel like maybe there is probably a small increase because of the economy. People need an escape, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this kind of stuff taps into it. But like I said, I personally wonder about the saturation point. At what point is there too many Munchkins? Is there too many of the Ravenloft-type board games?
Well,
and people just don't want to buy them.
We have the control over this.
Mm-hmm.
From a company point of view, it's profitable to keep pushing these things out as long as we keep buying them.
Yeah.
So it comes down to the same old adage. We don't buy them, they're going to stop making them.
And like we just said, if they came out with a Dark Sun one...
We're going to buy it.
I might buy it, because I do like the Dark Sun thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely picking up Legend of Dritz. So, you know.
Steve Jackson, he comes out with other games, too.
Yeah, Revolution, like I said. Yeah. Completely different from everything else.
Yeah, but I wonder, is there enough different coming out from them or not? If not, that's probably okay, because there's a lot of indie game makers out there that are making a lot of things like we covered on Kickstarter the other day.
Right.
So maybe there's enough there to fuel the new development, and then these companies, they can do new as well as push all these.
Right. Right. Well, not to push anybody away from Steve Jackson or Wizards of the Coast, because we love their games, but hey, you know, if you're getting kind of burned out on these, then definitely check out Indie Gamers.
Check out the Indie Gamers, indie game producers, definitely.
Which we feel you should be doing anyway, whether you're tired of those games or not.
And that's one of the things that we're going to try to do here, is pull out other kind of games. I mean, we've covered a lot of Steve Jackson, Wizards of the Coast, but as our podcasts go on and our website gets more information, I'm going to be pushing a lot of indie game stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So... just as an alternative to what's out there. And so, and that kind of brings me to my game of the week.
Okay.
Because I do want to go to something that is not usually a hobby gamer thing. It's not a hobby game at all.
Right.
And that's, I like trivia games.
Mm-hmm.
I love trivia games. Trivia Pursuit is one of my all-time favorite games.
Right.
This one is Seen It. Now, people out there probably have
seen
it.
Oh, yeah, that's not oversaturated at all.
That's the thing. This is another, but I think it's Hasbro.
Yeah, that's something we should have researched before we started. But
probably.
I think it probably is.
But anyway, it is oversaturated. I mean, they've got Harry Potter Seen It. They've got the original Seen It. They've got Twilight Seen It. Now, that's actually a cool thing that they're tying into those hugely popular products.
Right.
With their trivia games.
Well,
and that considering brings in a
this
lot of people.
Considering this type of trivia game, I mean, pop culture needs to be a part of it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but for people who like trivia, these are really good, well-put-together games. And they got the DVD version still out there. They got a board. You go around the board. You roll the dice. You see things on the screen. You answer the questions.
All kinds of different puzzles and I mean, I really do. I enjoy the Scenic games as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's puzzle questions. There's they reveal as they go and guess the picture things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is well put together. And now, of course, they've branched out to Xbox, and I think there's PlayStation 3 as well. They're on the mobile devices, so they're really, really out there. The oversaturation, it plays into that, but they got an even larger group of people that they can play off of than even Wizards of the Coast.
Right, because they're not dealing to strictly hobby gamers.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And these are things that really good party games. Plug mm-hmm. them in, 20 minutes, you know, 20 minutes to an hour, you've played three games, you know.
Right.
And a lot of fun, and mm-hmm. a lot of social interaction, a lot of people, you know, can crack jokes and everything, so... That's what I'm saying.
Games All right, so that's your game of the week.
Scenic games. Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of Scenic getting onto mobile devices, that leads into our next topic, which is about social games on mobile devices and whether you're getting your money's worth.
Yeah. Yeah. social games are interesting phenomena, and they, you know, ones on Facebook, Google Plus, but they're also in apps on mm-hmm. on the mobile devices, and a lot of them are free to start with, and then you buy into them, you get things to add to your kingdom or things to put right. on your people.
Which it's not always most of these games are designed where you don't have to spend that kind of money, but mm-hmm. your time in the game is pretty much limited if you don't.
Yeah,
you can only go so far, and then it's going to take you 6 months to get to the next level if you don't buy into what they offer.
Yeah, and what brought this up for me was the announcement by NGMoco mm-hmm. that they are canceling a lot of these games. They're ending them. They had Charadium, Adventure Bay,
Wii Mobile.
Wii Doodle.
Yeah. That's it.
There's several other ones that they've just decided aren't profitable anymore. Or there's not very many people playing them. They're not worth their time to develop more for. So they're just going to cancel them.
In the interest of full disclosure, apparently they are combining Wii Doodle with Charadium.
That's how they're going
to
make a new
one. To create a new game.
A new drawing game, yeah,
for
those people.
Which is fine and dandy, but you know there are people who have already spent their money on Charadium or Wii Doodle or both, whatever.
Yeah.
And now those games are getting canceled, which means since they're networking games, they're on your mobile devices. When they're canceled,
they stop working.
They're gone. You've spent money on them and you can't play them anymore.
Yeah.
Now
those are slightly different games, because those you buy the app and you play them, and then there's the other social games where you don't buy the app. It's a free app, but you mm-hmm. pay for things in the game, and those are being canceled as well. You put a lot of money into those. You like your little island you made, you like your little castle you made, and now it's gone.
Well, so. And of course, as any business will, they've protected themselves in their terms of service by saying that everything in the game, whether you bought it or not, is their property.
Yeah, probably.
Because they created that property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're renting it. You're leasing it from them.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
But it's a whole new level of game playing that mm-hmm. it's going to cause a stir out there, I think.
Well, I think people need to be aware before they go in that they are just leasing. I mean, if you're not reading the terms of service, you're doing yourself a disservice. No, of course they don't.
I've probably given away my firstborn children 5,000 times just clicking yes.
Yeah, I'm sure I have no soul left. But the fact of the matter is, this is a business decision. From a business point of view, as we've discussed before mm-hmm. in this podcast, from a business point of view, this is very cost effective, you know? They need to stop putting money into this game. They need to eliminate this game so that they no longer have to spend any upkeep cost on it until they can spend their money on the new game.
Yeah.
And keep that one going 6 months, 8 months, however long until it reaches its saturation point. And then they'll do the same thing, and people need to be aware this is going to happen.
And this is the new paradigm
mm-hmm.
for computer games, because you know,
pretty much.
You know, I mean, I have games from years ago that I can still load up and play.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you have everything from these games to Diablo 3's coming out, and you won't be able to play that lonely on your computer by yourself. So
Well, that's true.
So you know, this whole thing's starting, and it's gonna be interesting to follow and see where it goes. I think.
Yeah.
People are gonna buy it. How much?
Well, I want to see if there's gonna be a backlash, and there's gonna be companies that are creating games that are strictly offline, single player experiences
mm-hmm.
to counteract what's going on, or if everybody's just gonna buy in to this
mm-hmm.
new way of doing things, and everything's gonna be strictly online. You know, and
I think it's kind of up in the air right now. I mean, they're both those types of games are out there right now, but it's interesting to see how it's playing out.
I mean, I'm not as thrilled with the whole Diablo 3 being online thing as I would be having it like it used to be, a single player plus a multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Single player can be done offline. But I'm not as concerned about the game getting canceled. I mean, the servers, the Battle.net servers for Diablo 2 are still running after how many years?
Yeah,
I don't think Blizzard's just going to shut it down. So I'm not really as concerned about that. Now, these social games, Chaosium, WeDoodle, Adventure Bay, people put money in on that, and those games are gone.
Yeah, they'll be gone.
Now, admittedly, they're putting, what, $1.99?
$1.99 at a time. I spent $15 last week on one.
Yeah, you're probably not the exception, Mike.
No, well, I think I probably am the exception. I think some people spend a lot of money on these things.
Well, okay, in that respect, I'm saying I don't think that you went above board.
Yeah.
There are very few people that play these social games that don't put money into them.
Yeah.
I think the vast majority put a small amount, $20, $25 into it.
Yeah.
And then there's people who spend hundreds.
Yeah.
You know.
But it'll be interesting to see where it goes, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, my main question, and something I'd like to get people's response to, are you getting your money's worth out of these games before they go away?
Do you feel
before
like
you reach your saturation point? If the game is still there, you know, say Zombie Lane, Sims Social, that sort of thing. When you've reached your saturation point, you just don't feel like you're getting anywhere in the game anymore, and you don't want to play anymore. Have you felt like you've gotten your money's worth out of it?
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear.
And if they cancel it at that point, and one day you think, well, you know, I'd kind of like to fire that up and play it, and it's not there, is that going to bother you or not?
How upset are you going to be about
that? So, yeah, feel free to leave the comments like that in the comments on the show notes for this. And it's kind of interesting to hear what you all have to say about that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the website again, www.thediceguys.com, and you can comment.
And you can jump on there and catch the show notes for this week's podcast and our previous podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, thank you this week. Thank you for listening. And
yeah, absolutely. And keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. No, man.
Trying to kill me.